Good day, listeners. Welcome back to the pod. It's Jazz here with Florian. For those of you who have been listening to the pod in the past, Florian has been on the podcast a few times, but I'll give Florian the opportunity to introduce himself so I don't mess anything up. Florian, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Jazz, for having me. A warm welcome here from Germany. My name is Florian Grummis. I'm the CEO, Managing Director and Founder of Midas Touch Consulting. We are an independent precious metals, commodities and digital asset focused investment boutique and research company. We have weekly analysis on gold, on silver, on Bitcoin, and we do consulting, mentorships and advise private individuals and high net worth individuals on their portfolio strategies.
Nice. So Florian, it's great time. I think we are bringing you on the podcast because we have only just started the year, still in Q1. And I was really keen to pick your brains on starting with the macro. What's your macro view on the markets? And then drill it down into the sectors that you guys specifically will focus on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, as always, you could say, a rather complex macro situation. We had these huge inflation numbers over the last few years, and I think everybody can feel it. And the Fed pushed up interest rates to levels unseen for the last 15 years or even 20 years. We had this massive sell-off basically in every asset class in 2022. And then we had this recovery in 23, which was surprising, I think, for many people, because they were thinking the crash would continue. And now we are seeing that the stock market continues to run up, while gold has been consolidating over the last two months after making a new all-time high. Oil had come down over the last few months, and you still have massive geopolitical tensions. Actually, the warmongering continues, especially in the West. I think Putin made it very clear in his interview that there would be an easy way towards peace within 2 weeks if the West would stop supporting Ukraine and accept basically that Ukraine had to be neutral. But the NATO maneuvered themselves in such a corner now that I'm afraid that there is no way out anymore in a massive war. I'm totally against this personally, but I don't know how they can find a way out of that situation without losing their face, which would then also mean maybe the end of that coalition. It's actually very dangerous. So that actually influences the whole macro picture a lot, I believe, personally. Probably more than what's going on the interest rate front, and if the Fed would start lowering interest rates in May or in June. Right now, we've seen just a few actually, but it seems because the moves are so strong that America's all over the place, but it's actually just a few stocks in America which are going through the roof. They're going vertical. Nvidia obviously is one of them. It's a great company, no doubt about, but I think it's quite over-exaggerated, the move now. You've seen smaller companies like Supermicro going through the roof, and it seems all kind of like very bubblish, I would say. But so far, there is no sign that this bubble has topped. If it tops, we have to assume that down the road there will be larger consequences and probably pain ahead, which then would affect the broader market as well, because the breadth of this whole rally is rather small. It's just a few stocks that basically pushing up those indices. And if you talk to the people on the street, I mean, the real economy in most cases is not doing that well. America is mainly kind of like delivering good numbers, but we know that the statistic offices probably giving their best to come up with good numbers, while the reality looks a little bit different. And also the massive fiscal spending and the government spending has obviously helped a lot in America. So we are in a very interesting situation right now. I'm a little bit cautious here because it could go either way. Looking at gold, it looks, I mean, it's been going sideways for 2 months, building a base above $2,000 that is generally speaking strong. However, the party has been playing in a different sector, obviously in the tech sector in America and a few emerging markets. If we get a more escalation in terms of the war in Ukraine, or in Gaza and in Yemen, in the Red Sea, which were also hotspots over the last few weeks, and which also, by the way, have intensified the inflation situation again, because all these shipping routes had to be canceled, and most ships are now going over Africa, and that takes much longer. And so prices, freight rates actually are up significantly, which also will heat up inflation again. But if we get any escalation in terms of war or geopolitical events, I think the stock market will get into trouble, and gold initially will do well, playing a safe haven asset until, I mean, in a full-blown war situation, I think everything will go down. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a time to be overly aggressive and risk on. Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point that you made. It's really the tech sector, the top seven, that has been playing their part in the market. If you look at the US markets, which is Nvidia, Apple, Microsoft, Google, it's basically AI-led market boom that's making those stocks go higher, including super microcomputers and all those ones. But that is obviously out of control. It's a rally that's just going on based hoping that the AI will take over at some point. But being realistic over here, knowing the interest rates, knowing the job numbers, knowing that the Fed stone is still very hawkish, they haven't really gone dovish at all. Looking at the inflation, they've got the inflation tamed, but if they were to stop dropping the interest rates, their biggest worry will become inflation again, which they obviously don't want to get impacted. So keeping that in mind, that sort of framework in mind, that macro framework in mind, along with the liquidity has been still tight. The market is not that liquid relatively outside of these, apart from these AI stocks maybe. Where do you see 2024 headed from a financial markets perspective, the sectors that you think will do well, whether there's a war or not, no war? I mean, you can either take both scenarios or pick one. That's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, from a contrarian perspective, obviously the commodity and the mining sector is extremely out of fashion, out of favor, and seems to be very undervalued. I mean, if you look at the big gold producers, gold is trading at above $2,000 sustainably. I think we had the 13th weekly close above $2,000 now in a row. And all the big producers are producing, they're all sustaining costs are way below $2,000, right? Mm-hmm. I think Equinox Gold has like 1,685-ish, I think is their number. So that's probably one of the bigger producers with the most leverage on their balance sheet if gold continues to go higher. Yet the market is not seeing that, is not caring about it. As I said, the party right now is playing somewhere else, but I assume if gold continues to move higher here, that during the year, the big gold producers will catch up. And I mean, simply because people will look at the gold price breaking out above $2,100 and then like, okay, maybe they missed the initial move in gold, but what's lagging? And then they quickly realize like, oh my God, the gold stocks haven't done anything, or actually there are some of them are at levels last seen in 2015 when gold was like at $1,000. So I think that's definitely an interesting play for the year. I would focus specifically on the larger producers initially. So if you look at Alamos Gold, for example, I think they have 1150 as an all-in sustaining cost, and it's an excellent company, excellent management. They should do rather well in a rising gold price environment. And if you want to have some leverage, it would be probably Equinox Gold. And if you want to get a nice dividend, Newmont is also, I mean, beaten down to levels, unbelievable levels, actually. So that's one part that I think, generally speaking, is interesting. What I see as well, I mean, last week has been full of news that big guys like Jeff Bezos from Amazon is selling a big stake. The Walmart brothers or the family is selling big stakes. So you see that, like, the smart big money, the insiders are, I mean, that's actually a chart that I posted 2 weeks ago already. The insider selling is at extremely high levels. So if the smart money is cashing out at the moment, I think, generally speaking, you probably want to be rather on the sidelines and have a decent liquidity position over the year. It seems that many market, I mean, Bitcoin as well, it seems to be a little bit toppy here, above the 50K level. Who knows? I could imagine that we get a bit more, I mean, severe problems over the year. And that could affect actually all sectors, as we have learned in 2008. The difference now probably is that the Fed will not allow a multi-month, 1 year bear market, because they will come over a weekend and rescue the markets again. And that would then also mean, like, more liquidity injection than we've ever seen before. So that's the one big lesson over the last 20 years. Any rescue package had to be much larger than the one before. So last year in March, they rescued the banking sector with a 400 billion package over 1 weekend, and this was base money, so the banks could lend this out again in a fractional reserve system. So it could be that they have to come up with trillions of dollars injected into the markets rather quickly. And of course, that changed everything again within a day, like last year in March. So that's the tricky situation. Right now, I would be rather cautious looking at all these vertical tech stocks and looking at the fact that most of the big insiders are rather selling. But I think the commodity sector, precious metals are undervalued. The mining stocks are very undervalued and out of fashion. Also, copper stocks are out of fashion. So this is something where I see some good opportunities over the course of the year. But I'm a bit cautious how this all will play out.
So, you know what? That's the interesting part. We have been saying this about the commodities, or the market in general has a common consensus that the commodity sector is undervalued compared to everything else, right? When you look at the amount of liquidity that was thrown into the market, low interest rates at the time, a few years ago, all of that stuff, right? But for some reason, the commodities market just doesn't want to come into the limelight again, like in the past. Is it, do you think that crypto to some extent is really, or stuff like these AI stocks taking the shine away, and we're not gonna see the rally like it saw decade ago or so? Or do you still think that it will have its day in the sun?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it will have its day in the sun. But I mean, markets are cyclical. You know the long-term picture. As long as this belief in the Western supremacy basically continues, and as long as the belief in the dollar continues, and as long as the American stock market can play its games like it's playing its games of decades, it will be, generally speaking, rather difficult. But you see massive central bank demand when it comes to gold. You see massive silver imports into Turkey, for example, where they have very high inflation for years now. You see massive demand out of Asia, and specifically China, when it comes to physical gold. But that's the long-term game. And what we've seen over the last few months, again, like many times over the last 20 years, like, you see rising prices in the Asian sessions, and then the Western paper markets basically trim the gold price again back to its levels. So that's the ongoing story. But yeah, I think that you are right that, of course, Bitcoin, the Bitcoin ETFs, the tech boom, Nvidia, all this has taken away liquidity that would have gone into the metal sector, for sure. And at the same time, many normal people have a hard time. They have quite some challenges to come up with enough liquidity to pay their bills. Mm-hmm. And so what I continuously hear for months and months already is that many have to sell their physical precious metals here in the Western world, you know, because they just simply run out of liquidity to pay their bills. Mm-hmm. So they're not selling because they don't believe in it. They have to sell because they need the cash to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is also, stopping basically a momentum to be developed in the precious metal sector.
Mm-hmm.
But again, taking a step back, I mean, October and November, we've seen a massive rally in gold. It went up from 1810 up to $2,150. So that was like $340 in 2 months, massive rally in gold. I mean, yes, the crypto guys will say, okay, it's a little game, but for gold, it's been a big move. And all it has been doing since then, actually, has been consolidating that move above $2,000. So we had one little dip last week or 10 days ago, but it quickly came back up above $2,000. And so it actually looks pretty good. And once it really breaks out above $2,100, I think you will see much more momentum, much more liquidity coming into the sector, much more buyers. And if that also means maybe the top in the tech boom and the AI boom, yeah, you could quickly see liquidity streams changing and coming into this rather small precious metals and mining sector. It's a complex, as always, a complex picture, but I think there is reason to be cautiously optimistic.
So your personal favorite sector for 2024 and beyond for now, as far as you can see, is commodities. Fair to say?
Yes, also with a decent cash position. I mean, with Bitcoin, I have to see how it will continue. I thought that I mean, a year ago, I had this $48,500 price target for the recovery, and it went exactly there with the ETF, start of the ETFs. It topped out there and it quickly dropped by 10K within a few days. But then, and that was not what I had expected, it recovered rather quickly, and you now see massive buying from the Bitcoin ETFs pushing prices above 50K. And from my perspective, still there, it looks like we're topping out here in Bitcoin, and then should also get a pullback because it's very much correlated now with Nvidia and the tech boom. I mean, if this buying continues and everybody can now easily get their Bitcoin allocation with an ETF in their portfolio by a mouse click, we could also see new all-time highs. I just think that at current levels above 50K, it's not a good risk reward. So if we get a nice pullback towards 30K, 25K, that's, I think, the levels where Bitcoin is getting interesting again. We have to see. I think it's
one of those markets that has never really been outside of the traditional markets. It's fairly unfair to say that it's not a, that it can run on its own without looking at the macro picture. I think it's part of the macro, like everything else. Yeah.
Right, and I mean, it's massively linked with Nvidia, right? I mean, that's if you look at those charts and if you look Nvidia in earnest started to rally when Bitcoin mining came into fashion, and you see the links behind the scenes with Tether and what's going on. It's a big story,
anyone who looks at the log chart and says Bitcoin is the thing, look at Nvidia in the last 6 months. It's nothing's beaten Nvidia or the smaller chip stocks, basically, like Supermicro Computer and all those. So that's good. So in your view, commodities should shine, especially in this situation that Russia, Ukraine is, the world is sort of stuck in.
So remember, I mean, 2 years ago when Russia started to invade Ukraine, you had a super fast, super strong thrust up in gold. And then it started to correct a few days later. So something similar, I mean, probably the weeks before any more serious escalation, you will see gold rallying very hard. And once there is actually the war really happening or more intensive war happening, you might start get the top and then the correction in gold. That's what we've seen 2 years ago. And that's generally what we've seen in the past. That gold is always good to anticipate war and geopolitical escalations. But once it's a fact and on the table, usually it's topping out. So it's basically kind of like a sell the news event then at some point.
So
that's why you have to be really careful over the whole year. And I just can recommend to have also a decent cash position, even though I don't think inflation will go away.
So now that we have talked about the macro and some of the sectors that you think should shine in 2024, and hopefully your predictions come true, what's your favorite looking chart? You do a lot of technical analysis, a lot of research work, obviously. What's your personal favorite when you look at all these different charts and the markets? What's your personal favorite, the one that you think is looking robust to perform and adds up with the macro picture as well? Like, if you were to pick one out of gazillion, what is it? What is Florian looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be the gold chart, because it's just, we've been in this consolidation now for basically 13 years. So gold topped out in 2011 at 1920. Mm-hmm. We are now closing $110 higher as of Friday, 13 years later. So, and if you look, this is like, I mean, people certainly have seen it. It's a big cup and handle pattern in the making, much longer than many of us expected. I mean, at least I've been warning that the handle would take a few years, but I also thought last December that this rally could continue. And then we had this weird intraday reversal on the 4th of December when gold made a new all-time high only to close below 2020 at the day, because suddenly big sellers appeared in the Western paper markets. So, but this pattern is still intact. And if gold can break out, I think we can, this will be the start towards $3,000 plus over the next few years. Should be, it could take us to $2,535. So that's roughly $500 from where we are today. That's a nice gain in this old-fashioned metal, I would say. I like the fact that there's building this strength. So it's not that momentum is screaming in your face, but it's like this resilience and this continuously, slowly but continuously moving higher, creeping, so to speak. That's actually a very strong signal. And I think the physical demand is simply making sure that gold cannot go much lower than $2,000 anymore at the moment. And it doesn't take much from here to really unleash momentum. And again, I mean, if the Fed would have to lower interest rates, that could trigger gold massively. If you have a geopolitical event, that could trigger gold massively. If you have the top in the tech sector and money fleeing, basically liquidity moving into other sectors, I think you've certainly heard that the Druckenmiller and also Elliott management, they both starting now to move into commodities and precious metals because they think it's very undervalued. So if this trend, if this becomes a trend, a new trend, I'm very optimistic that gold will look very good this year.
And when you look at the international markets, what one market is of most interest to you, whether it's the emerging markets or whether it's the US market? Which one do you think from all
the markets? Well, from a contrary perspective, I think China is very interesting. They are in a very rough situation right now. I also, by the way, that could be another trigger. I mean, we've seen it the last 2 weeks already. They started basically pumping a lot of liquidity into the markets. And they very likely will continue doing that, and even on a grander scale. So that will also trigger more physical gold demand in China. So China, generally, also the stock market would be interesting. My problem is I'm still a German citizenship, and the experience that I had with Russian stocks, with the embargo, so to speak, that once the invasion into Ukraine started, you couldn't trade your stocks anymore. So given the fact that there is geopolitical tensions, there is still there's unsolved situation with Taiwan. Personally, I have a little bit of a challenge holding Chinese stocks in my portfolio, because I assume maybe at some point, from one day to another, I won't be able to sell them anymore. So that's why, unfortunately, it's not a strategy that I personally can play right now. But I think it's a market that looks promising in the bigger picture, because it came down so much. And if you look at the Chinese electric cars now, I think they're starting to take over the world. So it's going to be very interesting what's coming out of that corner. But I think China is very interesting. Generally, I also like Brazil and India. However, India has done rather well. So maybe only if you get a significant pullback there. Yes, and Brazil is also interesting, definitely.
I'm just being time cautious over here, Florian. Before we start wrapping this up, any other thoughts on the market or otherwise for investors? Obviously, this is not a financial advice. People need to do their own research and blah, blah on that. Anything you want to add before we start wrapping this up?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you can see we are moving into more and more challenging times. I mean, on the one hand, you can make a killing with tech stocks going vertical. On the other hand, inflation is sticky. You see more and more stress within societies, right? It's also going to be an election year. That's also going to be interesting how this will play out. I just hope that people come to senses in terms of not warmongering anymore, but looking for peace and diplomacy, because that's, I think, really more important than anything else at the moment. It has maneuvered themselves into a corner, and it will be very tricky. I hope there is a way out, because if this is intensifying, it's going to be very bad. And it will affect your finances. And then probably, I don't know, I mean, you can buy weapon manufacturers stocks, but that's not something I personally do. So, I just can call everybody out to really make sure that they talk peace and diplomacy, and make sure to let everybody know that we need peace here and negotiations.
We all want to live, obviously. No one wants to die.
Because if we have a full-blown World War III escalation, I mean, it's going to be over, you know. Then it doesn't matter which stocks you hold, or whether you have enough Bitcoin and precious metals.
You're right. Great words of wisdom over there, Florian. I appreciate your time. It's been long when we last had you on our pod, but I'm sure we'll have more regular catch-ups. You're a busy man, flying between Dubai and Germany all the time. So I appreciate your time. To the listeners, none of this is financial advice. Please do your own research and play safe, stay safe. Thanks
for having me. All the best. Thanks, Jasper.